This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue out of the study out of the book of Micah. And Micah is one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Micah comes right after the book of Jonah. We're in Micah, and we're in chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 this afternoon. The Lord has brought two indictments against Israel. The indictments deal with Israel's sin and their lack of obedience and commitment to the Lord. And he reminded them in the first indictment of all the things that he had done for them and how that he had been with them and met their needs many, many times, yet Israel did not look to the Lord. And even now, in the midst of this trial they're facing, they're not turning to God. And he's calling for them to turn back to him. And then we saw last Sunday, the second indictment as well, is that the people would seek to call upon the Lord for wisdom instead of looking to the world and its wicked ways. And that they would seek to honor and glorify him instead of listening to deceitful tongues, which led to violence and sinfulness. And he also shared with them the fact that he was to be there for them. And so this time we're going to be seeing Israel's second reply. The first reply they gave was one where they called and acknowledged that the Lord was the one that they were to look to. And that he had showed them things, but they needed, in this acknowledgement, the second reply today, we're going to be looking at their response to both of these indictments and the situation they're finding themselves in. Israel was facing the real possibility of being taken into captivity at this time. It won't happen because of God's grace, really, for about another 60 or 70 years after, but right now they're faced with the Assyrians coming down, and the Assyrians have laid siege to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah was the king when this happened. Micah and Isaiah were the prophets during the time of King Hezekiah, and Micah being the prophet to the more common people, Isaiah, being a member of the royalty of Israel, really spoke directly to those in leadership, both within the priestly order as well as the political realms. And both of them had the same message, that there's a Messiah that they need to trust in. There's a God that is their hope and their Redeemer, and they need to look to him. Both of these prophets, Isaiah and Micah, gave prophecies that not only dealt with Israel's immediate situation, but also speak of the fact of the coming Messiah, both his first coming and his second coming. Now let's take a look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul is desired the first striped fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. And the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. And the day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, but ye put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. And the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will not look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be the light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which is said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. And help us to understand as Israel responds to the indictments that you've given against them, and the fact that the only hope they really have is in you. And Lord, help us to see the situation that we are in is much very similar to Israel. And our only hope rests in you. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, as you look at the beginning of the first part of the response that they give their situation. And it's not a good one. Their situation is such that their political leaders and their religious leaders and those that have authority over them have really not only abandoned them, but they've come against them. As we read in these first few verses, it says that they feel like they're ready for the time of the harvest is ready, but there's no fruit there. There's nothing for them. And if you've ever been out and harvested after you've had prepared to go to harvest, and you get out to the field and you're combining wheat, and the combine goes and there's nothing coming into the bin because the crop is so bad. All the time that we were on the farm, I never really saw a really, really, really bad crop, but we did have a couple where you'd make a whole round and you'd barely fill up the hopper in the combine. And you're sitting there going, what's wrong? We don't have any harvest. They're sitting there looking at their lives, and they're saying, where is the fruit that we should be bearing? Where is the fruit that should be evident in our nation? If you look at what Israel should have been bearing, all kinds of fruit. They should have been able to proclaim the name of the Lord before all the other nations of the world, and that the rest of the world could see God at work in Israel. Yet it wasn't there. And we see that same thing should be true in America. And what is really sad is that the world looks to America, and much of the world still calls America a Christian nation. But then when they see what America does and how America acts and the things that we do, they say, if that's Christian, I don't want any part of it. And that is really what Israel is, as a nation had done. They had abandoned their faithfulness to God, and in so doing, they had not been the light and the salt or the evidence to the world of the reality of the true and the living God. Well, what did they say they had instead of a fruit? The good man has perished out of the earth. They said that he is not here. We can't find him. We can't find a righteous man in Israel. And where do we look for him? Why can't they find a righteous man? There is none upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. Now, what are they waiting and lying in wait, ready, wanting to kill people? Well, that could be part of it. You see that happening in America today. Many people that are really should be taking care of people are really causing their deaths to become quicker. And you think you're going to someone that can help you, and really they desire to see your death and destruction. That's where Israel was. They thought there wasn't a good man. They couldn't find them, but those that were there that appeared to be the ones that were going to help them really were lying in wait to kill them, to see their blood and to take their lives. And not only it didn't stop there, it says they hunt every man his brother with a net. Now, in other words, those that should have been closest to them, those that they should have cared about the most, which are their brother. Now, is this their physical brother? I believe it's speaking of the fact that those who were of the tribe of Israel were being hunted by the tribe of Israel. We know that that happened at various times in Israel's history, where the nation was turned upon by its own people. And this was evident here because, as we're going to see in a moment, those in authority cared nothing about the common people. They only cared about lining their pockets and maintaining their power. That sounds familiar to today in our nation as well. People that should care about you, people that are your fellow citizens and should care about you, don't care about you. An example was given that I heard on the news the other day. They're allowing the borders, the southern borders of the United States, to be wide open right now. People can come in. They don't have to have a shot. They don't have to be tested for COVID. They don't have, none of these things have to be done. And then some of them that came in illegally some time ago are going to get a $450,000 check each for coming in. Those that do come in today, they don't get the big check yet, but they do get a free airplane ticket to anywhere they want to go in the country. And yet our citizens are being demanded that they have the shot. They cannot travel without showing proof of either having the shot or not having the disease. They have to take tests if they don't get the shot. They don't get free money. Instead, we get to pay more and more taxes. And so we see the very ones that the government should be taking care of are the ones that it turns on, and the ones that they should be preventing from invading our nation are the ones that they help. And that's exactly what was happening in Israel. Their brothers, they turned on their brothers. They couldn't go to them for help. They set out a net to catch them. And it says that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. Now, if you want to look at that statement, that's a powerful statement. They're doing evil, but they're not content with just doing it kind of behind the scenes any longer, but rather they're doing it out in the open earnestly with both their hands. And earnestly means that they are trying everything they can to continue to cause this evil to be done. And he says some of the ways that this manifests itself in the government and leadership. It says, the prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. That's not a reward for doing a job well done. That's a bribe. They're asking for bribes. Okay, I'll rule in your favor if you give me money, so I'll rule in your favor. That's what the judge is saying. The prince is saying, okay, I'll give you what you want, but I need this from you, and you need to pay me this in order for me to do that for you. Those that are your rulers over you should be taking care of you, not for what they can get out of it, but rather how that God has placed them in a position of authority to watch over you and to take care of you. The judge is there to seek and bring justice, yet these judges didn't want justice at all. They wanted to break the law themselves. We see this in our own nation today, where you have people that for example, right now, there's this young boy in Wisconsin, and he had gone to Wisconsin to help from another state, and he was helping during the riots that they had there, and he had a gun with him, there was three men that approached him with guns, and they actually have film showing them pointing their guns at him. He shot the men in self-defense. But what the court did is the government withheld the films showing these men coming at him with guns. They only show him shooting the men. And they had this film, and then some people, his attorney and some others, found this film. They brought it to the judge's attention. Now what's the court going to do? Are they going to allow this to be introduced? I don't know if they are or not, but if they don't, this is exactly what you're seeing happen here. Those that have the power that should steer the courts to justice aren't doing it, and the judges don't want justice to come because they want their own political outcome to come. So we see that that's what was happening in Israel. He uttereth his mischievous desires, so they wrap it up. And so he tells them his desires, and that's what is going to be done. So this is the situation the nation of Israel is facing. The best of them is as a briar. What is a briar? A briar is a bush that will entangle you. If you ever remember hearing about Bear Rabbit and the briar bush, well, Bear Rabbit, he got tangled up in the briar bush. The briar bush, it's a bush that has thorns and entanglements, and so when you get in it, it's difficult to get out, and you can't get free. That's what these were like. They were like briar bushes, and that they would just entangle and cause the people to become enslaved in the bush. And then not only that, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. He's more, if you've ever been in a thorn hedge, that's not something you want to be in either. And so that's the best of them, is sharper than a thorn hedge. If you've been walking and have happened to have come upon a thorn hedge and had your hand pricked by the thorns, it's painful. And you don't want to do it. That's the best of them. And so they are not looking out for your betterment. And it says, he goes on and he says, the day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. And so what he's saying is, Lord, the day of your watchman and the day of your visitation is coming. And when that day comes, then these people are going to be confused. Because they're going to think they had the power, but you ultimately are coming to bring justice. Now this is what Micah is foretelling and responding back to as these people respond to the indictment by the Lord. And he's saying, there is a day coming. And the day is when the Lord is coming with justice to visit with judgment upon these. And then they'll be perplexed. Trust ye not in a friend, but put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. In other words, don't put your trust in men, and don't put your trust in those that come and would try to deceive you, like this woman who would come and with deception in her heart, and so you'd tell her everything you needed to know, you thought she needed to know to help you, when really she wasn't there to do that. He's saying, don't do that. He says, why? For the son dishonoreth his father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. He's saying this is what's happening in Israel at this time. Those that should be closest are now the enemy. One's own family is the enemy. One of the things that you see happening in many of the countries in the past where people have come against God's people, those that would be the closest to the people as far as family would be the ones that would actually turn them in as being Christians. In the Soviet Union, in China, in other countries, they seek to have neighbors and family members turn them in. We're seeing the same thing happen today with much that's going on. Where turn in your neighbor if they're not doing this. Turn in your neighbor if they're not doing that. The same type of philosophy is being weighed here. Jesus said, our trust isn't to be in our families, our trust is to be in the Lord. And we're to look to the Lord. And here Micah is saying, in Israel at this time, there were those within their family that would turn on their own family members. And this is oftentimes what happens when wickedness and evil are pervading a country. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And so where is Micah saying they need to turn? It's not to the judges because they're corrupt. It's not to the political leaders because they're corrupt. It's not to their neighbors because they're corrupt. It's not to someone that would be a personal confidant because they're corrupt. And he says, don't even turn to your own family members. but rather turn to the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Now, why should they call on the Lord? He says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." So how is he going to arise? God will cause him to be lifted up. The Lord will be a light unto his path. The Lord will give him light in the midst of darkness. The Lord will help him. And so his enemies will be confused and confounded because they'll see someone that they thought that they have gained victory over, that they have under their control, that they can do with as they please, but they can't. One of the things that you can look at, what's happened recently up in Canada, where pastors are willing to take a stand for truth, even though the government officials say, well, we'll put you in jail. And they say, well, then I guess I've got to go to jail because I'm not going to not do what God tells me to do. There's been people, we prayed for a gentleman today. He had a really, really good job, a really well-paying job, a job that he could retire from in probably 2 or 3 years and have a good benefits and all this, but yet they asked him to do things that were against God's word, against God's principle, and lead people into making decisions that would take them away from God and not towards God. This man's a Christian. He chose to what? Stand for truth. To stand for the Lord. What did it cost him? It cost him tremendously. But you've got to think that his bosses are going, what's wrong with this guy? Why would he do this? I was just asking him to do what everybody else in the world is doing. Why won't he do it? Because he's making his decision based upon what the Lord can do for him, not what his bosses can do for him, not what his job can do for him. The Lord will be there to be his provider. The Lord will be there to be his strength. The Lord will be there to be his light in the midst of this darkness. And that's what Micah is sharing with Israel and saying what they should look to. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. The people of Israel are saying, we deserve God's judgment. We deserve God's wrath, his indignation. Why? Because we've sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. And so he's saying, I am worthy of God's judgment, but God in his mercy is still going to be there to protect me when I call on his name. He's the one that will plead my cause. He's the one that will execute my judgment. Who is he speaking of that can do that for us? He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the Messiah of Israel. He's speaking of the fact that even though we have sinned, yet when we call on the name of the Lord, he is the only one that can plead our cause and execute a judgment on our behalf. And so he's saying, look to him who has the power and authority to do this because he is righteous, because he is holy, because he is God. And he goes on and he said, he will bring forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And Micah is saying that Israel is going to behold the righteousness of God, and they're going to do it in a more marvelous way than they can even think when you look at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where when he comes, he shall come to redeem and save Israel, when they can't trust a soul. They can't trust anybody. And the whole world is turned against them, yet the Lord will come and redeem Israel. And that's been shown as we've been going through the book of Revelation. The Lord, when we couldn't redeem ourselves, yet God came and redeemed us by the power of Jesus Christ. And he said, behold, I will see his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it. And do you realize? Those that would come against Christians in Russia or China, those that would come against Christians in the U.S. and say, you have to do what we said, even though it means violating God's word, violating God's truth, violating God's character, but you need to do it. And we say, no, there's coming a day where they shall see the light of the Lord come, they shall see his righteousness, they shall see his holiness, and then they'll realize the deep trouble they're in. This is the trouble therein isn't with an earthly king, it's not with an earthly ruler, that's with the creator of the universe and the judge of men's souls. And he says here, then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? And there have been those that have said that. There's been Christians that have been persecuted in countries where they said, do you believe in Jesus? And the people would say, yes. So if you believe in Jesus, where's your God now? I'm going to shoot you. Where's your God? I'm going to throw you in prison. Where's your God? I'm going to burn down your house. Where's your God? And all of a sudden, there's coming a day, they're going to see the Lord. And those who had said, where is your God, are going to be face to face with him. And it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. And where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of in the streets. And so the nation of Israel, their response is, yes, we've sinned. This is the condition we're in because of our sin, because we put our trust in men and not God. And then they go on to say, but there's coming a day where our trust needs to be in the Lord, because he's our deliverer, he's our strength, he's our hope. He's the one in whom we can turn to, and he shall come, and we shall look upon him as our Redeemer. And those who have said, where is your God? They're going to look on him as their judge. And they will be trodden down. They shall be judged. And they shall have to account for their wicked and sinful behavior. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the words of Micah. That Micah gave not a message of despair, but a message of hope. We have a God to look to who is a righteous and holy God. A God who is our deliverer, redeemer, and savior and friend. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to trust in you and to look to you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to 577. My life, my love, I give to thee, the Lamb of God who died for me. And may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me, how happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I'll trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me, how happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I consecrate my life for thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me, how happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to live our life for you who died for us. And Lord, help us to constantly remember that you are our Savior and our God. Go with us now and help us to proclaim that truth to those that we meet in the week ahead. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.